Welcome to the Crossings Church podcast, where we connect people to God and others. And now, here's this week's message.
It is better with you. That's what we've been talking about. This church is better with you. A great message was spoke last week. Josh McDonald preached on bringing your kids with you. If you missed last week, go to our website, which, by the way, is a really cool website. Thank you, Meredith Albert. And listen to last week's message on bringing your kids with. If you don't have kids, you listen to it as well, because you have a responsibility to help the kids at Crossings. There are kids. And if you have a pulse, go listen to that sermon. It was really a good word, and I just want to encourage us, because I think it's timely for this body. Today, in classic Trev style, I'm going to go back and talk about food. So last week was a great message. This week's going to be a message on food, on how to give away a lunch and what an impact a lunch has. So let me tell you straight up, if you're here and you're younger, I'm talking to you today. It's Res Week, and I'm speaking to you. Now, that doesn't mean everyone else can be quiet, because how many know we're all kids at heart? I mean, you know, we all feel like we're still like 15 until you have to run. Then you're like, no, I'm not 15. Not that anymore. So pay attention, because I think the Lord would speak something to everybody in this room. But if you're younger, you cannot drift off on me. Look me in the eye. I literally changed my message last night because of you. If you're younger, listen to me. I want that with all my heart, and I'm talking about how to give away a lunch. Now, I've given away a couple lunches. One lunch I gave away wasn't so voluntary. I had led a young man to the Lord at my workplace. His name was Aaron Collins, and he was excited, passionate about what Jesus had done in his life. We're 20 years old. He goes to our cafeteria. We take turns. We worked off-site. He'd go to our big corporate cafeteria, and he picked up lunch that day. He comes into our shop, man, tears in his eyes, coming down his face, just moved, like visibly moved. He says, "Trev, man, God just let me be a part of something so cool. I grabbed lunch, and I was coming through the loading docks, and there were these homeless guys, and I gave away my lunch." Well, I didn't notice him carrying a bag. I said, "And where's my lunch?" He goes, "Man, I gave yours away too." That's when I explained to him the rules. I'm like, "Dude, you don't give another guy's lunch away. When God spoke to you, he spoke to you, not me." He gave my lunch away. I was like, not happy about it. I did not feel goosebumps or feel spiritual about it whatsoever. I was like, not cool. Not too long after that, I was driving into St. Louis, and as I'm driving into work, there is this homeless guy on the side of the road. He wasn't like conveniently located at an exit like we have here. He's just like on the side of the road. I blew by him when the Lord spoke to my heart, "Trev, I want you to give your lunch away and what money you got." And thankfully, I don't carry much cash. I've had that happen to a friend of mine that had cash. Basically, my lunch is far more valuable than any money I had. So I wheeled around. I'm like, okay, I really knew it was God. You know, it's one of those times where you know God spoke to you. So I drove around. I had to get off an exit, come all the way back around, and pull off to the side of the road. I jump out. I'm like, "Hey, man, hand me lunch." I said, "Jesus loves you, and God just wants me to give you my lunch, and here's, you know, here." I jumped in the truck, broke and no lunch, and was overjoyed. How many's ever listened to God like that? And you're just like, that was the most awesome thing ever. I was so happy. Like, the roles reversed. I walk into work all misty-eyed, like, "Oh, God's great. I don't have a lunch," you know. And the difference was in how I gave it. And I want to tell you today, young person, listen to me, everybody here. You have a lunch to give. It's like you have something in your hand today. There's something that you can give away. And I'm going to look at some principles on how to give away a lunch out of John chapter 6. So if you have a Bible today, get it out and open to John chapter 6. Now, John chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with 12 pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just invite your presence here right now. And would you do something in this room that only you can do? Would you show us yourself? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you move us? Would you change us? In Jesus' name, amen. So, I like calories. I like them a lot. And I went to McDonald's today, and I bought 2 egg McMuffins, and I threw away the muffin part of the McMuffin and had only my egg and sausage. So got rid of those evil carbs. Thank you. Thank you. Got rid of those evil carbs. So I'm aware of how much is in a carb. And when I looked at this boy's lunch, 2 fish, 5 barley loaves, I got curious. And so I got my Fitness Pal app and I looked up how many calories are in a barley roll. Get this, there's 180 calories in one barley roll, a small one. I was shocked. 30 grams of carbs, 6 grams of protein, 4 grams of fat. That's a pretty healthy roll. This kid had 5 of them, giving us a total of 900 calories in just his bread. Thought that was interesting. Then I imagine it said small fish. I thought, okay, what kind of fish we got going here? So I looked up a tilapia. Tilapia is not huge, it's small. And so I looked up a tilapia, and that is another 42 grams of protein, 200 calories, almost no fat. So this kid had 1,100 calories in his lunch. Divide that by 5,000 people, and everybody there could have 0.22 calories. That's very little. How many know they're going to still be hungry? Now, most scholars believe it says there were 5,000 men. That didn't count women and children. So there were safely 7,000 there. So we're talking about 0.16 calories per person from his lunch. It would seem as if it would do nothing. Can I just start? My first observation I want to make, just 3 quick observations. The first thing I want to say, when we give what's in our life to Jesus, when we give what's in our hands to Jesus, he can do great things. People get fed. In fact, the Bible says when they had all eaten enough. That means they didn't count calories. They weren't throwing away the McMuffin. They weren't worried about anything. When they all had enough, that's like, whew, I've had enough. When 5,000 men and however many women and children had enough, they stopped. What can only give a fraction of a calorie in his own became everything. If you're younger in here, let me tell you, this church, this world, this country, your family need you because it's better with you. You may say to yourself, I haven't got very, I'm not much, I'm 12, I'm 13, I'm 18, I'm however old you are, you have the potential to change a ton because what's in your hand, when it gets out of your hand into God's hands, it becomes powerful. It becomes huge. It shakes things. Can I say that one of our strategies here at Crossings is we realize that if Crossings Church is going to have an impact into the future, we have to have 12-year-olds on board. We have to have the children's ministry on board. We have to have high schoolers passionate for God. I'm getting old. They send me AARP stuff in the mail. In my mind, how many here that you're past 50, if you're not hurting presently, behind the eyeballs, you still feel like you're a lot younger till you have to go do something. Then you're like, whoa, whoa, old. Listen, we need you in a practical sense. But when we give what's in our hands to God, big things happen. I think, how will Crossings Church get a building one day without becoming one of those churches that are always bugging everybody for money? Don't want to do that. You guys are like, oh, thank God. Seriously, I don't want to do that, but I know we need a building. Did you know that when we say, God, we're going to step out and trust you, we're going to be obedient to you, we're going to dedicate our lives to you, and we're going to do things that seem senseless, because it probably seems senseless for this guy to throw his lunch at 7,000 people, but here he is, they take my lunch. And with that, a miracle happened. And I believe that we'll see buildings as people start stepping up saying, hey, I believe God can do big things. Here's my life. I'm not even talking about money. I'm talking about, you may say, hey, I'm young, but man, I want to be passionate for God. I want to never miss a youth group. I want to be involved in worship on Sunday mornings. I want to help serve in children's or serve in setup or tear down. I just want to dedicate my life to serve Jesus. I'm his. I belong to him. I believe God will take that and he'll move things that you're not even aware of. Because God's able to do far more with your little than you're able to do with it. Far more. Second point I want to make is this. That was the most significant lunch that kid ever had in his life. Think about it. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That lunch became the biggest lunch of his life. It couldn't get bigger. He might have had better meals later on, but that was definitely his best. I love what John chapter 6, verse 12 says. It says, when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. And squeeze the life out of this thing. There's so much. Don't let it go to waste. And young people, can I say this? That sometimes we live our lives in defense mode. We're afraid. We hang on to our 1,100 calories and we're like, okay, this has got to last me a long time. How many of you thinking that way? Like if I eat a half a barley loaf for, you know, this day, that day, sometimes we buy into the lie that says, my goal in life is to see how happy I can make myself. I need to pursue things that are just going to make me happy. I need to pursue a career. I need money. I want nice things. I want to know cool people. I want to look pretty. And we hang on to that, and we're afraid to give anything away because we're like, if I give it away, I won't have money to be pretty. If I give it away, I won't have the time to really get good at my video games and conquer the next levels. And we hang on to our lunch. What would have happened if that kid would have just hung on to his lunch? Jesus might have used somebody else, but as far as that kid goes, nothing. It wouldn't have been the coolest lunch of his life. He had wasted an opportunity. He had wasted what could have been amazing. But what happened was, he says, hey, here are my 1,100 calories, Jesus. And he didn't waste a moment. Can I tell you, can I tell all of us that when we dare to step out and say, God, here's my life. Here's my future. Here's my everything. Not just a token, not just a little part, God, but I give you my heart. I give you my plans. I give you my dreams. I give you everything that's part of my life. Here, God, I hand it to you. That's how things aren't wasted. That's how you live with more than enough. I have never in my life come to a place where I said, boy, I really regret giving that to God. I really regret that time I spent. Oh, if I could only have that hour back. That's never happened in my life. Can I tell you that Jesus' call hasn't changed, that he looks at us and he calls us to say, hey, trust me with your stuff. Could you imagine being that kid that gave away that lunch? He probably, for the rest of his life, because the Gospels were written within 60 years, 70 years of this time frame, some earlier than that. One is thought to be written like 30 years after this time frame. That kid could have been in Bible studies where he's like, yeah, I gave that lunch. He could have been able to talk about for the rest of his life, I gave my 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus fed a multitude. That wasn't wasted. Man, Jesus is calling you to trust him with your stuff. To trust him with your heart. You want to talk about wasting a life? A wasted life is that one that plays cautiously and says, oh, Jesus, you're here, really? Let me give you this one half of a McMuffin. Let me give you one roll. I'll keep part of it. And a lot of us live our lives in such a way that says, I want to play cautious because I'm afraid to really dedicate myself to God. Because if I do, I won't have enough time or money or resource or creativity to do all the fun things I'm planning to do in my life and through college. And God says, no, give me the whole thing. It only works when you say, here. It only works when you give it up. God's not interested in sharing your lunch. He wants it all. He wants all of you. He wants your whole life. This idea that says, when I get through high school, then I'll serve God in college, that's a lie. The bigger lie we tell ourselves, when I get through college, I'll serve God after I party through college. I want to tell you something, that's a lie. You won't. I'll really dig in with God after I have kids and I have to go to church then. Then it's important and I'll raise my kids up in church. You will not. Well, I'll really serve God when I'm through my career because right now I need time to power through my career. You will not. Tomorrow's a word that's found only in a fool's dictionary. God says, if you don't want to waste your life, give it to me now. Serve him today. There's this passage in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. And Jesus says this, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good is it? What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his very soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So many of us like try to make Jesus this part of our life that says, Jesus, I want you just to bless my life. He's not interested, I said, in sharing your lunch. He's not interested in just being a side blessing. He's not interested in just being a bunch of facts that you may know. Jesus wants your life. And it only works when you give the whole thing to him. It only works when you say, God, here's my heart, here's my life, here's my sin, here's my failure, here's my hopes, here's my dreams, here's everything I am. From now to the day I die, here it all is, God. I'll live for you. I'm willing to become nothing for you. One of the problems with our world today, we're so messed up with identities, is because we fail to say, I identify with the cross. We're so worried about saying, what's my identity and what's my role and who am I? No, the question is, who is Jesus? The question is, are you crucified in him? Have you said, he died for me, I'll live for him? And many people never experience victory in their lives. Young people, hear me closely. A lot of people never experience the presence of God because they refuse to surrender their lives. They've made God just a thing in their life and not the thing of their life. And they never see the miracles and they never see the provision and they never see the bigger things that God. They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I can tell you it never works out. I like leftovers. You guys are like, yeah, I know. No, I really like leftovers. I have a very generous wife. I feel like a selfish person saying this. But if you come to my house, a lot of times Cindy will just give our leftovers to you. Makes me mad. Sometimes I'll catch your eye. I'll be like, told you I'm a bad person. Grace of God. But I really do like leftovers, man. They're the best. I like when I go somewhere and there's like plenty to eat. Like if I go to your house, don't chintz on me. We love when at our house, Cindy is an overdoer. Terrible overdoer. But I don't mind. I like if you come to my house and you want to eat 3 hamburgers, well, there's 4 there. I like there to be plenty. There's an important point in this lesson, young people, and hear this. This is so important. In the end of this story, they collect 12 baskets full of leftovers from the fish and the barley. 12 basketfuls. I like to believe, the scripture doesn't say, but I like to believe it all went to the kid. It's his food, right? You get that principle, right? If you bring the food and there's leftovers, you take them home, Cindy, right? We understand this principle. I like to believe that the kid had this problem now of 12 baskets, barley, fish, all this food. Like, wow, man, I started with this. Now I've got all of this. There's an abundance in the Christian life that's bigger than money, that can't be bought. There's a richness of life that the world searches for every day and misses. And it's only found by those that have dared to say, God, I know that you love me so much that you paid for my life in your own blood, and I won't play with you, and I won't insult you, but I'll give you my everything. I'll give you my life. And that person that hands his or her life to Jesus is never disappointed. They may face hardship, they may have loss, they may even die, but there are basketfuls of goodness left over in their life. They have a reserve of the love of God, a reserve of his presence. Their lives aren't boring, they're marked with an adventure. Their lives aren't purposeless, they're marked with daily purpose and mission. But it's not for those that are merely interested. Young people, I'm sorry that we've lied to you sometimes and said that Jesus is just there to cuddle you and make you feel good at night and be a great addition to your life. No, that's not true. Jesus wants your life. He wants to be Lord of your life. He wants you to lay the plans of your life in his hands. And you say, God, here it is. You do with my life what you will. And in that context, that life begins to see the glory and the love and the presence of God. Jesus didn't come just to give you a set of rules. He came to make you new, to transform you, to live in you, to empower you. You'll begin to find treasures in God's word that will excite you so much. You'll be like, I can't wait to tell somebody. You'll begin to find joy in God's presence that is more priceless than all the money you could ever earn or hope to earn. You'll have good stories. You won't be boring. You know how many people are running around with their little life, desperately clawing to keep as much as they can till they die? And then we go bury them with their scraps? As opposed to the person that says, God, here's my life. I've done a lot of funerals. I can tell you never once has anyone gotten up and said, oh, she made a lot of money. She did, man, I really loved her money. Never heard it. Never heard someone say, wow, their house was amazing and the car they drove was great. Those funerals are sad. The funerals that are exciting are the ones where people come up, and I've watched people with that have been penniless, and I've watched people that have been rich, but they died for living for Jesus, where people show up and they're like, oh my goodness, that person loved God. And that person loved the people around them because they had an abundance. Those are rich. Young people, hear this close. If you don't hear anything else, hear this today. You got to live a life in such a way so that you'll have a good funeral one day. Quit living like everybody else, scratching for your identity. No, Jesus says, you want to come after me? Die. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. Get on my purpose. Get on what I want to do. Let me be your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And here in this time right now, Lord, I just ask that you would check our hearts. Lord, that you would do something in us today, that some of us would come to life, and whether they're young people or whether we're older in our years, Lord, if we're hanging on in reserve and we're not surrendering our lives to you, Lord, will you forgive us today? Will you make us new? With your head still bowed, just a moment, and it's just me and you right now. And you'd like to say, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm playing like I'm in control, but I need to surrender to him, and I want to today. I just want you to raise your hand and say, that's me. Right on. It's a brave young person. Anybody else? Man, it takes guts to say, God, here I am. Thank you. It takes guts to do this. Father, thank you for every hand that went up. I thank you, Lord, for those that have made decisions today, Lord, in their hearts. They recalibrated and said, we got to change things. Lord, I just pray that you would seal your work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to, in second service, maybe next week, do communion, okay? Tell you what I'd love to do. If you're a res weeker or you're a leader and you are heading to res week, can I have everyone stand up? But if you're a res weeker, will you come and stand in the front here? If you're going to res week or you're a leader, come on up here. You guys are already dressed in red. Everybody can stand. And here's what I'd love to do. This so represents Crossings tomorrow. It just does. Let me change that. It represents crossings today. If you're a young person, listen to me. You can do setup, tear down. You can help. We need your labor now. More than that, I want you guys to burn bright for Jesus. If every one of you guys gave what you have in your hands to him, it'll change the world. Just this group, it would change the world. And I want us to pray for all you guys before you go, and for Daniel and his team. God would bless them. So let's pray together. Let's pray God would bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this group of students. We thank you for this group of leaders. And we pray, God, do something big in their lives. We thank you for the work you've already done, and we just thank you that you're going to do so much more. Lord, protect them, watch over them, and cause your goodness to fall on them in the next few days, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being at church today. Go give your lunch away.
Thank you for listening to the Crossings Church podcast. We meet at Desert Edge High School on the northwest corner of Yuma and Estrella Boulevard in Goodyear, Arizona. Our service times are 9 o'clock and 10:30. Do you have kids? Bring them to our kids' service at 10:30 a.m. You can find us at www.crossingschurchaz.org. Thank you for listening to this week's message. God bless and have a great week.